Over the weekend, the Islamic Republic of Iran launched its first direct attack in history against Israel. Talking heads on both sides of the aisle are saying that this could be the start of World War III. But I'd like to give you a little different perspective, a more accurate perspective on what's actually going on. And a Minnesota children's doctor releases a video telling parents to respect their child's preferred pronouns and affirm their new gender identity. Plus, do you know the origins of the words good morning? Among words like obese, well-spoken, articulate, good morning is now considered a racist slur. And finally, a megachurch invites male stripper to its Christian men's conference. All this and more today on Exposed, the Kalo podcast. So an NGO, which is a non-governmental organization located in Mexico, just over the border, is handing out pamphlets coercing illegals to illegally vote for Biden. Now, the camp has ties to DHS Secretary Mayorkas and billionaire George Soros. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But first, here's everything you need to know about the Middle East in case you missed it. Iran launched hundreds of missiles and drones at Israel. These are all being intercepted right above the Dome of the Rock. Now, at the center of all of this is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This is the temple on the Temple Mount, the most holiest of site in all of Jerusalem for Muslims. So Israel, listen carefully, Israel intercepted missiles fired from Iran, which is a Muslim state. They fired the missiles towards the Islamic temple, okay, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, one of their holiest sites in all of Jerusalem. So Iran, which is Muslim, attacks the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is Muslim, and the Israelis, which are Jewish, protect the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is Muslim. So in total, Iran fires 331 missiles and drones towards Israel. The casualties are zero, except for one little girl, a Muslim, who is severely wounded in one of her legs. Not a single rocket reached its intended target. And that's all thanks to the collaboration between the United States, Israel, Jordan, Britain, and France. So here we have all of these nations coming together, okay, protecting a Muslim site in Jerusalem where Muslims are attacking Jerusalem, their own site. So we got Jews, Christians, and Muslims all working together to fight a common enemy. Because unlike what we hear on fake news every day here in the United States, this is not a conflict between Israelis and Palestinians, nor is it a conflict between Jews and Muslims. This is actually a war between jihadists, the extreme branch, if you will, of Islam, and everyone else in the world. This is a war between those who promote liberal, crazy, terrorist values over you and I, normal, traditional values. They do not value life. We, the Israelis, and most of the normal people, including Palestinians, value life. So we have those who don't value life versus those who do value life. Now, their capital is Iran. This is where all of this came from this time. The first time in history that Iran directly attacked Jerusalem. But their proxies are all these other groups, which are all extremists, terrorists, like Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, and just about every other radical Muslim group in the world. So when we have Biden, the president of the free world, even though he got there by stolen election, that's okay. But when he refuses to stand against Iran, refuses to stand with Israel, he's like on both sides. He doesn't want to take a side because this is not about anything except his own election. He's willing to at least entertain the thought of a potential world war. Now, do I think it's going to lead to a world war? No, I don't. Mainly because what this is doing is this is causing chaos. Chaos. I kind of remember somebody said that chaos follows him everywhere. Oh, Nikki, Never Nikki. You remember Never Nikki? She's the one that says chaos follows Trump everywhere he goes, and we can't have any more chaos. Uh-huh. That's why I know this chaos is Democrat designed. It is designed perfectly and purposely to create chaos in order to get both the left and the right fighting. Why? Because Biden wins when that happens. He gets all the crazies going against the other side, and he gets all the conservatives going against all the crazies, and Biden always comes out a winner. I don't know how that works, but I can tell you this. It works because most Americans get tired of the chaos. And so they begin to say, well, we don't want any more of this. We don't want any more problems. But if they had their eyes open just a little, what they'd remember is there was no war when Trump was president. There was no war, no conflicts anywhere in the world. But since Biden took office, we now have conflicts all around the world. And the potential, don't forget, of China invading Taiwan is right around the corner. I think it's going to happen, folks. We got to pay attention. So this is exactly what the Democrats are doing, because whenever they accuse the right of doing something, it's actually them who are the ones who are doing it. Exactly what they're saying, everyone else. But we know the truth is out there. And we found some video of that real truth about what's happening in Iran. Here it is up on the screen. Wow, that's Jewish flags and Iranian flags. And they're chanting, women, life, and freedom in French. This is France, okay? And here we are in France. We have Iranians and Israeli Jewish women and some men coming together to show their unity and support for Israel. Amazing. Why? Because like I said, this is not a war between Palestinians and Jews. This is a war between the radical element of the Muslim faith and the rest of the world. And guess who's in the midst of all of this? Our American leaders. Yeah, we have some of them. We have the woke, crazy terrorists in our own government, like Rashida Tlaib. She's one of them. And along with our woke professors around the nation who are basically brainwashing our children today, they graduate college, especially in their junior and senior year, they start getting more radicalized. And they join groups like this thinking that they're doing good for the world. Yeah. They don't even know where Palestine is. They don't even know that it never really was a nation, that it has no history. They don't know anything about Jerusalem. They've never even been out of the United States. They have no clue what they're doing, but they're joining and raising and throwing flags because they've been brainwashed. And what we have to be careful of is we're losing the youth in this nation to the indoctrination of the left, but the far radical left. And that, my friends, are the radical Muslims. Those are the terrorists. And as disgusting as that is, as crazy and off the wall as we think that is, we have found blatant evidence of the Biden administration coercing illegals, okay, to illegally vote. I don't know how that's going to happen. Illegals to illegally vote for him in this upcoming election. And this is all done through flyers. You're going to see a picture up on your screen that we found at an NGO camp in Mexico. So at this camp, which is just over the border, the southern border of the United States, Texas, just over the border, there is a non-governmental organization camp there, and they're handing out these flyers to all of the immigrants who are coming to America. In these flyers, it says this as part of the statement. First of all, this camp has ties to both DHS Secretary Mayorkas and billionaire George Soros. So obviously, Mexico is working hand in hand with the Biden administration, because we know that this couldn't happen unless the Biden administration had given them approval. They're working in Mexico. Okay, so here it is. It says, welcome migrants. The Resource Center is a 6-unit office complex that is home to HIAS. Which provides legal assistance and assistance in obtaining formal documents in your job search and integration into the city of Mahamros while waiting to access the asylum process in the United States, which supports the legal team by every means possible, including approaching the camp to deliver documentation or gathering people for consultations before their hearings. So they're basically telling you, listen, you got nothing to worry about. We're going to tell you what to say, how to say it when it comes time for you to go before our hearing. Here's a reminder. Vote for President Biden when you're in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. How do illegals vote? How does this going to translate into votes in November? My friends, this is telling, because it means that the left has a plan to fast track people to give them citizenship. We already know some cities are looking to get illegals to be able to vote in local election. Believe me, we're not far. It's not even a stone's throw away from giving some of these illegals the ability to be able to vote. And besides, who's to say that they can't just fill out a name on a, you know, card, absentee ballot or whatever, because we know that that's where all of the shenanigans takes place. And they're doing it right in front of our very eyes, like we're the crazy people. Like we're the ones that are insane. We're not. But speaking of insane, watch this next video. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Did you know that it actually does matter if you use someone's correct name and pronouns? Studies have shown that when adolescents have people across any setting, home, school, friends, use their chosen pronoun, they have better mental health outcomes. So what do parents need to know about pronouns? I'm Dr. Angela Cade Getford. I'm the medical director of the Gender Health Program here at Children's Minnesota, and I use they, them pronouns. So what is a pronoun? Well, we all have them. We all use pronouns. We all refer to each other with some kind of pronoun, usually she or he, sometimes they or them, or sometimes new pronouns that you might not have heard of.
Using just make them up.
Someone's pronoun is a way to let them know that you see them, that you understand them, and that you're going to refer to them in the way that they want to be seen. So if your child or teenager shares with you that they would like to try using a different pronoun, it would be a good idea to try it. It could be hard. Maybe you've never known anyone that's used they, them pronouns before. You may have a child that you've always called by she or he, and now they're asking you to call them.
Call them whatever they want.
It's okay if you mess up.
It's okay.
I have 3 kids of my own, and if they asked me to start calling them by different pronouns, I'm sure you would.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's important to thank your child for sharing that information with you, and then try as best you can to get their pronouns right. If you make a mistake, just simply correct yourself and say, oh, I meant to say he or she.
I'm sorry.
Or just make the simple correction. Hey, I was, you know, talking about you the other day and I said that she, I meant he. Just go ahead and move on.
I made a mistake.
But again, the more that we can do as adults, as parents, as teachers, as pediatricians to respect a child's name or pronoun, we know that they are going to feel a better sense of self and less anxiety and depression long term.
The saddest part of this video is that this person, I didn't use your pronoun, this person is the head of child care at Minnesota Children's Hospital. This person is actually telling parents that it's okay when your 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 14, 13, whatever year old child decides, well, you know what, I feel a little, and it's okay. No problem, honey. What would you like me to call you today? He, she, they, theirs, them, zir, zar, whatever. It's all good. And there's nothing wrong with it because you are whatever you feel like today. You know? There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's better for their, how did she put it? Oh, for their welfare. Yeah. This non-binary doctor, because it's really not difficult to tell that she wishes she were a he and obviously has some mental problems. Now, it doesn't mean that people who have mental problems are not intelligent, because actually many people who do have severe mental deficiencies are actually very intelligent. And you say, how can that be? Well, it is. It's actually true. They're actually on the verge sometimes of insanity. And it's obvious with this poor person that she is. But she's making a very clear statement that we here at Minnesota Children's Hospital, we are going to be encouraging you as parents to do what your children ask. So whatever they ask for, you better run and do it quickly. See, they don't believe in discipline. They don't believe in correction. They don't believe in trying to tell your child the absolute truth. No, son, you were born a boy. And let me explain anatomy just a little to a little kid. I mean, you can't go into detail, but you can make a clear, simple distinction between a boy and a girl. There are things you can do, but they don't want us to go down that path. This is an activist doctor. And doctors like this use parents to get them on board with their own agenda, which is transitioning children. And the reason why they want to do it, my friends, and I know this sounds crazy, but it's all about the money. This is nothing to do with health or the care of a child. This is really about money and power. The transgender movement is huge. They've taken up days in our calendar all across the year. They are now kind of infiltrating their way into schools, libraries, and now the medical field. We can't even trust. Even the American Medical Association and the American Pediatric Society all believe that it's okay to tell your children that they can be whatever they want to be. You know, if they choose to live a life like this, if this person chooses to live this life, God bless her. I say, that's fine. That's your choice. You could do whatever you want. But it crosses the line when you try to tell me that I have to believe your insanity, I have to believe your delusion, and I have to live in your delusion. And then if my child asks a question or begins to feel a little insecure, I have to live their delusion as well and encourage them in that nonsense. This is crazy. And there's no reason for us to be going down this line anymore. But yet this is happening all throughout society, and nowhere will it stop until you and I put an end to it. When someone says, oh, I'm sorry, I need to be called whatever, you just look at them and go, nah, no thanks, that's okay. And you call them by what they look like. And if you make a mistake, well, that's their problem, not yours. It's time we man up, woman up, and speak the absolute truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this nonsense is prevalent pretty much everywhere right now. And nowhere is it more prevalent than with minorities. Now listen carefully. I'm not racist. I'm not trying to make a knock against any particular group or category of people. But we're being gaslighted on a daily basis about things that we say, and a lot of it is coming from the minority side, okay, like transgenders. They are a minority, and they're pushing their agenda on America. So right now, saying things like, believe it or not, good morning.
Good morning. Sunday morning.
That can actually be considered racist.
My guy, So let's talk about where the word good morning originated from. Good morning. All right, so during slavery times, when the women used to mourn about their child being taken away and sold to a different slave master, or if one of the family members did something that resulted into them getting whipped or killed, most of these things used to happen in the evening time, when a child was sold off or somebody was getting whipped for something. The black women used to cry all night behind it. Not even just the women, the black people in general, all the black slaves, male or female.
All right, hold it right there, because I can't go on any further. And where did you learn to speak English, young lady? I mean, where, honestly? You obviously quit school early. There's no doubt about it. The kid get taken away, and they take him away, and they come at night. Listen, nothing of what this woman is saying has any truth in it whatsoever. What they're doing is they're trying to steal our culture right out from underneath us. So she's saying that good morning now is actually a racist slur, because somewhere back in time, I guess she was not a slave. Her parents were probably not slaves either. But somewhere along the line, there were blacks who were slaves. And at night, the slave master would come and abuse the women at night. And then in the morning, the slave master would come by and said, "I hope you had a good morning." In other words, a time of sorrow and sadness. First of all, I think you need to learn spelling, because the word morning is morning, meaning good day. It's beautiful. Good day. It's cloudy. Good day. But you're using mourning, and most of that's probably because you never had a course in English and you really don't know what the word means. And you're taking mourning as in sorrow and sadness, like when someone passes. But let's continue to listen to the rest of what she has to say, if we can handle it. Here we go.
When a child was sold off or somebody was getting whipped or something, the black women used to cry all night behind
them. Oh, not long.
The black people in general, all the black slaves, male or female. When something happened to a family member or a close friend or anything, they used to cry all night behind it. And when the slaves used to cry about what happened all night long, the white slave master, the oppressors, will wake up in the morning time.
Oh.
And tell the slaves.
All right, hold it right there. So the white people come up with the phrase good morning as a slap in the face to black people. There it is. I've now heard it all. This is it. So now every time we say good morning, because first of all, they think that happened here in the United States, but we'll get to that in a minute. Let's listen to the rest of what she has to say.
Basically, did you have a good cry out? Did you do enough crying last night because of what happened to their family member a day prior? So the white oppressors came up with good morning as a mockery towards black people during the slavery times, when they used to cry and mourn and grieve over what happened to somebody when they was whipped or killed or taken off to another plantation. So it was their way to make fun of the black slaves crying that night prior. So they would ask them, "Did you have a good morning? Did you have a good cry?" And they would laugh about it. So that was their way of being funny towards the black slaves when they would cry all night about somebody that was hung, somebody that was killed. That was their way to make fun of them. Y'all know what mourning mean. All they did was take the U off of it, so nobody would think about what it really originated from. It was really a mockery to the black slaves and them making fun of what they did to their people when someone was hung, killed, or sold off to a different plantation. That was their way of being funny.
That was the way for white people to be funny and mocking. And so what we did is we took the U out of mourning and made it morning, as in good day, in order to mock black people. Look, I got to believe either she is one of the stupidest people I've ever seen, literally, in my entire years, Or this is, she's just looking to gain fame. I almost feel like it's impossible that someone could be that stupid. It really is. She must be doing this to gain attention. She did get a few hundred thousand hits on this particular TikTok video. So hopefully, I pray that that's all this was really all about. But here's the thing. Most researchers of the English language agree that the term good morning derived, in fact, the word good derived from the word God. Okay, good derived from the word God. They tell us the daily greeting some 400 years ago would have been God morning, meaning may you have a God-filled day and may God be the center of your day. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, when the women went to the tomb to find Jesus, they went and they couldn't find him. He wasn't there. And they went running away from the tomb. And then they saw Jesus along the way. Well, one translation has Jesus saying right there to the women, good morning. That's true. One of the translations is that Jesus was saying good morning. So to me, this TikTok star, who can barely speak identifiable English, is just looking for her moment in the spotlight and trying to cause a little more race baiting. I don't know why. We don't need any more in our culture today the way it is. We need more people speaking truth. And the truth is, okay, I'm hoping this is just a scam. That's all. Because really, if she really is that stupid, we are truly, truly in trouble. And this is a controversy to a degree, but this is nothing compared to what can happen if people start tearing our English language apart. We're already struggling all across the country trying to find truth in things. Do we need our young children growing up now wondering whether or not good morning actually means hope you have a good day? I mean, do we really need this? We don't. We have enough issues with truth. Speaking of truth, what a controversy just happened at a church in James River, Springfield, Missouri. The James River Church, located in Springfield, Missouri, on April 12th, had a men's conference. And every year they have a huge conference and they do some wild things. One year they had, you know, like monster trucks in there and pretty awesome. I've never been to it myself, but there's always, you know, a couple of thousand men on site during the men's conference. This past conference on April 12th, they hired a professional martial artist who is also known for being a male stripper and for sword swallowing. Okay, yeah, this is pretty interesting. He was found, I guess, on the talent show, NBC's Got Talent, back a few years ago. And he became popular enough that he was actually at the Olympic Games in Sochi. Well, his name is Magala, his last name, M-A-G-A-L-A, Magala. And he's, like I said, known as a, you know, stripper and pole dancer. And yeah, stripper and pole dancer. I mean, I can't even say I'm saying this in the same sentence with church and men's conference. But, well, let's watch the video and then we'll talk about it on the other side. Here it is. Now, he's getting ready to do his performance. Let me expose my chest. He rips off his jacket, shows all them. Oh, look at them abs. Ooh, yeah. And he's grabbing the pole. And I got to tell you, that's like, even when I was 20, I couldn't do that. I mean, obviously the guy is very strong. Oh, he's a, you know, he's gay. This guy, I mean, I'm sorry, but come on, look at him, man. The guy's gay. He's strong. There are a lot of strong men are gay. No football players are gay, but look at him. Now he's got a sword. Ah, yeah. Yeah. I wonder what he's going to do with that sword. No, he's not. No. Yeah. He's going to swallow the sword. You heard it. There it is. He's licking the sword first. Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And then, ta-da. That's right. 24 inches of sword down the throat. Wait a minute. Now he's going to climb the pole. He's climbing the pole with a sword down his throat. The crowd is going crazy right now. I mean, you would think this is like the Colosseum and they're going to throw Christians to the lions. And they're like, yeah, yeah. He's climbing up the top of the pole, man. He's almost to the top. It's like 30 some odd feet. He reaches the top, the pinnacle, the zenith. Ta-da! Here I am. And now he flips upside down and he's going to fall and break his neck. No, he's actually going to slide down the pole using his feet holding him with his arms extended and slide right down the end, hovering just an inch or two below the ground. I don't know, that sword getting pierced through him would have been cool, but anyhow, that didn't happen. And that, my friends, is the end of the production. Now, maybe if you're not a Christian, you may have looked at that and said, well, that's a pretty amazing feat. And it is. There's no way, no way in life I would ever be that strong or that stupid to be able to swallow a sword and climb a pole. But in any case, this guy does have some, for lack of a better word, I guess you could say talent. I'm not sure what that is. But in the Christian faith, there are certain things that have symbolism. One is a pole, especially when the guy is known to be a pole dancer. Now, I've actually never been in a strip club, even before I was a Christian. I always thought it was kind of demeaning for men to go and gawk at women and put money at them. I always thought that was ridiculous. Why would anybody want to lower themselves to that standard? But I know many men have, and many men do. But in the gay clubs, men pole dance. So I want to know who approved the pole dancer, sword-swallowing pole climber, to come to the men's conference and open the conference with this act. I just don't get it. But somebody spoke up. Let's watch this next video.
But let me do this. I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you and my heart is very burnt for you. And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in the strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club.
Wow.
That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword and Jesus Christ. Okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
Okay, stop it there. So this pastor got up to speak and it was the following morning. The conference opened the day before with that show that we presented to you by video. And this guy, Pastor Mark, he got up the following day and he spoke for a few minutes. We just cut to the part where he began to give an open rebuke to this. He said he was up praying all night and this really bothered him. And he explained why. And I don't have to go into detail as to why. I mean, if you're really not deep enough in Christian faith, it'd be hard for you to maybe wrap your head around. But Just kind of put it this way. Do you think Jesus would be happy if we had pole dancing in the church? I mean, for some reason, I got a sense that I don't think he'd be into it. So midway through his open rebuke about this particular incident, and he wasn't talking about anybody particular, the senior pastor of the church there spoke up and said, "Mark, that's enough. That's it." And so this guy respectfully said, "Okay, Pastor John, I'll leave. That's enough." And he got up and packed his bags and left. And this is what happened subsequent to that. The people were yelling, and it's hard to understand in this video. But they began chanting, "Bring him back. Bring him back. Bring him back."
Let me just say this.
So Pastor John, the senior pastor of this church, tries to calm the crowd. He finally gets them to calm down.
I talked to Mark for a half hour. There was not one word of that. He's out of line. If you want to say it, he can say it to me. You may not agree with me.
People are booing him.
But we are brothers in Christ, and there's a right way to handle this.
And he, after he got the crowd somewhat calm, he got up and said, "You know, I spoke with Mark prior to him coming on stage. We spent about a half an hour together, and he didn't say anything to me about it. And according to the Bible in Matthew chapter 18, if you have a problem with your brother, you have to go to him privately." Well, that's a true scripture, but this is not the application of that, because it wasn't about a problem with the pastor. It was about a problem with the presentation that was going on there. And this pastor got up and basically tried to use that scripture to say that he should have went to him first before he said anything. And there's going to be this controversy regardless. But I can tell you, being a student of the Bible and 42 years serving the Lord, I can tell you that openly rebuking what went on, and he said right in the beginning, "This is not a rebuke to anyone or any person or anything. This is just what the Lord laid on my heart last night, and I was up praying for all of you that you wouldn't be affected by this opening event." I think if this pastor, instead trying to justify where he was, if he just simply got up and said, you just probably might be right, and I repent and I'm sorry, I think it would have been a very powerful conclusion to the men's conference. But let me tell you instead what happened. He went on to justify that, "Well, we've had 450 people give their life to the Lord today, salvations." Let me tell you something. We don't count salvations. I mean, it's nice. People do it. Well, we had 10 people come up and say a prayer, give their life to Jesus. But it's not about saying a prayer. Coming to Jesus is a life-changing transformation. Anybody could say a prayer. It's what you do subsequent to that prayer. It's how you live your life. Anybody can get up in the heat of the moment, in the, you know, excitement, in the exuberance of the season, and get up with emotion and say, "Oh, I decide I'm going to live for Jesus." And then tomorrow go right back, start your drinking and carousing and womanizing. It's very easy to do. I know. Because as a new Christian, I kind of lived in the world and in the church. One foot in each side. But it's when you make that final decision to let go and give it all to Jesus, that's true conversion. So my friends, this is, you're going to hear a lot about this, I think, at least over the coming days and weeks, because this is a huge rebuke, not just to that church, but to churches in general, especially the mega churches, because it's very easy to get trapped into culture, trying to reach people with the love of God. And we think we have to bow down to the culture in order to get them to listen, when really it's about giving them the truth and then letting them make a decision. So this is one of those days where truth matters above all things. My name is Mike Kahlo for Exposed, the Kahlo Podcast. Looking forward to seeing you again next time. God bless you. and God bless the United States of America.